While you're marking that, we want to take a moment to welcome you to our services, the Church of Christ of Terre Haute. We do have a number of visitors, and we appreciate you being with us this afternoon. I think we learned something today, and that is that on a day like this, a lot of people in Terre Haute like to eat Chinese food, didn't we? We turn our attention to the Word of God, and in light of that, we encourage you to take a Bible and to study with us, and perhaps if you didn't bring a Bible, we'd be glad to get you one. Does anybody need a Bible at all? Okay. If you'll take the Bible and open up to Acts chapter 16, you'll be the right place for our study this afternoon. Acts chapter 16. If you've been with us before in our Bible classes, you know that we've been studying through the book of Acts. We've studied through Acts chapter 2 and the establishment of the church. And we're up to Acts chapter 9 and talking about the conversion of Saul of Tarsus. We skip ahead a bit, as you can tell, in our study to Acts chapter 16. And we want to talk about a particular story here that's of great interest. It should be of great interest to everybody throughout the world. We trust that it'll be of great interest to everybody that's here this afternoon. But in Acts chapter 16, we're introduced to a woman whose name is Lydia. And I'd like for us to read now Acts chapter 16 and in verse 14, if you'll read along with me, when the Bible says, "And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul." The story of Lydia is recorded in the book of Acts of the Apostles, as we know. Because chapters 13 through chapters 28 is a record of the work of the apostle to the Gentiles, that being the apostle Paul. The book of Acts could have been called the work of the Holy Spirit. One of the things that our brother Reggie has been talking about as we study through the book of Acts is the work of the Holy Spirit as revealed to us in the Word of God as we see in the book of Acts. We read early on in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38, "Ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." But the work of the Holy Spirit is something that we're seeing in the book of Acts in the scheme of redemption. It's through the preaching of the gospel by men like Peter and Paul and Stephen and Philip and Barnabas and Timothy and Titus that we see God's purpose from eternity to save man is accomplished. In this book of history, and that's what we have here in the book of Acts, the history of the establishment of the church and the growth of the kingdom, there are a number of conversions that are related to us, not through human experiences, but which passed under the observation of the Holy Spirit Himself. And I think it's important that we know and that we understand that. It passed under the observation of the Holy Spirit not one time, but two different times. When it occurred, the events passed under the observation of the Holy Spirit when they occurred originally, and then when they were recorded for us by the Holy Spirit Himself. So, two times. We have that in the book of Acts, everything that's revealed there. We would do well to know some things about this woman. This woman, the Bible calls a certain woman named Lydia. We might think for just a moment that there's not much said about her. But when you begin to look at what is said about her, you know a great deal. And everything that God said about her is true. You know, that's one of the important things about the Word of God that Sometimes when things are said about people, sometimes you wonder maybe if they're always true. But you know when you're studying the Word of God and something is said about someone, you know that's the way that it is. That's true. And that's right. And that's worth a great deal, isn't it? But what's some of the things that's said about this woman? Well, you might notice that in verse 14, it says, a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. Well, we know something about her occupation or her work, if you will, that she was a seller or a business person, if you would, as we might think of today. And her particular selling had to do with that of purple. And she was of the city of Thyatira. Now we'll back up just a moment and say just a few things about her name. Lydia. Lydia. It's a beautiful name, isn't it? It was a common name during this particular time. We maybe don't hear it too much today, and maybe there are not too many parents today that name their children Lydia. But if we lived during that time, we'd probably know several Lydias. And we might wonder, now, which Lydia is this? And to help identify that, well, we'd know this is the Lydia that is a seller of purple, and she was of the city of Thyatira. And so that would help us to know just exactly who this Lydia is. It's sort of like John today. I mean, which John and what John's doing what? You understand that, don't you? Those of you that know us, okay? Thyatira was one of the seven churches of Asia. And as you study through the book of Revelation, you're going to, of course, read about that in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and in verse 18. And one of the things about the city of Thyatira, it was very famous for its purple dyes. So she was a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. Now, Thyatira is a city in Asia Minor, and it would be approximately, if we're thinking about geography for just a moment, about 250 miles southeast of the city of Philippi, which was a city of Macedonia that would be across the Aegean Sea. And we might remember in the book of Acts 16 and in verse 9 that Paul saw a vision asking him, come over into... You remember the rest of that, don't you? Into Macedonia and help us. And of course, what do you do when somebody says, come over into Macedonia and help us? What do you do? Well, if you do God's bidding, you go over into Macedonia and you help. That's what you do, don't you? And that's exactly what the apostle did. He went over into Macedonia. And he helped. She was a seller. You ever sell anything? Probably have. Probably sold something, haven't you? It's not always easy to be a seller. Sometimes people don't want to be sold anything, do they? Sometimes economics presents a great problem. But if you've got something that people want or need, it's usually not too difficult, is it? She had something that people, especially during this time, wanted and needed. She was a seller of purple. Now, there's a couple possibilities with that, actually. There was the dye itself that was used, and then there would be the fabric that would already be dyed, that would be purple. And so either or maybe both might have been the things that she sold, either the coloring matter or the fabric already dyed to its purple state. But we're told that there was a great demand during this particular time for this kind of fabric, as it was used on the official toga, or the loose outer garment at Rome, and in Roman colonies, it was very common. The waters of Thyatira were said to be so well adapted for dyeing that in no place could the scarlet cloth out of which the frieze was made be so brilliantly or so permanently dyed as in Thyatira. No better place of the city of Thyatira for her particular business. And, of course, the term royal purple is still used and is common even today. So Lydia was a woman of some means, apparently, to carry on such an activity so far away from her own native city. A seller of purple of the city of Thyatira. We also are told that Lydia was a worshiper of God in this verse. So we know something about her, her name, her activities, and now something about her devotion to God. A worshiper of God. You know, when the Bible says, which worshiped God, those are just three words. But those words are important, aren't they? Maybe hear somebody's name that's mentioned and whatever it is, and they say, which worshiped God? Or maybe here's a person that's passed from this life, and those three words are stated about that person. This person worshiped God. Which worshiped God? That says a lot, doesn't it? Especially in a time when so many people don't worship God and don't worship God according to His will. The word worship is a word that actually means God-fearer. It means that she had a reverence and respect for God. It also means, can mean, or a proselyte of the gate. Both convey really the same idea and the same concept. Which worshiped God. So here we have a woman of some means away from her native city, which worshiped God. Now that's interesting, isn't it? Because sometimes when people are away from their native city, or from their home, as we would say today, they don't worship God. Because they'll say, well, I'm not at home. At home, if I was at home, I would be worshiping God. But since I'm not at home, I'm somewhere else, and I'm engaged in some other activities, then, well, they don't worship God. Here was a woman that the Bible says, and everything it says about her is so, she worshiped God. I'm thankful that that's recorded about her, aren't you? And we need to be thankful for people that even when they're away from home, they still worship God. Some of you are away from home today, aren't you? And what are you doing today? What are you doing this afternoon? Well, a lot of people are doing a lot of things this afternoon, aren't they? You're worshiping God. And I commend you for that. When our life has been lived, and it's all said and done from that standpoint, could those three words be said of you? Would that be good enough? Which worshiped God. Pretty good, isn't it? Lydia and the women were by the riverside, according to verse 13. It says, and on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And then that's when it says, and a certain woman, this is Lydia, worship God, heard us. Now we think about the fact not only was she away from her home, but here was a woman perhaps of some means involved in an activity or a business, if you will, away from home, who found time to go down by a riverside where prayer was being offered to God. She joined with those other women there at that location to worship God. And that's what Paul was. See, from thence, in verse 12, it said, to Philippi, that's where he had been, to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside. And that's where Paul and others found this certain woman of the city of Thyatira, there worshiping God. You know, when you find people worshiping God, it says something about them, doesn't it? It says something about their attitude toward God. It says something about their desire to put first things first. It says something about their attitude toward their soul. And how that they don't seek just the things of this life, but they seek the things of God and the things that are to come. She worshiped God. You know, it's rather interesting that as we've studied through the book of Acts, we find that so often that as evangelists and the apostles went places, they would go to a city and they would go to a synagogue, wouldn't they? Because that's where you would find people meeting and worshiping God. Religious people, devout people, who had some desire to do the will of God. And what a great place to be, and what a great place to find people and talk to people about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Apparently, in light of the fact that that was commonly done and not done at this location, would indicate there was not one at this place. And so, they went down by the riverside. You know, there are a lot of places that we can worship God. We could be worshiping God this afternoon down by the side of the river, couldn't we? Might be a little chilly, but that'd be okay. You just put your coat on and go ahead anyway, couldn't you? Would that be okay? You know, that'd be okay. We have examples of people doing just that. We could worship God in Terre Haute, Indiana, in the Holiday Inn Express, the meeting room, couldn't we? Or in a building, church building, as we think of it, somewhere, provided for those means. Here, down beside the river, women gathered together in order to worship God. Philippi, by the way, was actually a military outpost. It was a military outpost of the Roman government, and it would be most likely that there would be just maybe a few Jews that would be living in those particular areas. Most would be Gentiles. This, as we said earlier, is a section of Acts where the Apostle Paul is taking the gospel of Christ to the Gentiles. As we think about the fact that Lydia worshiped God, we need to say a little something about worship. And that the Bible teaches us that God is a spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. John chapter 4 and verses 23 and 24. We know from that verse and other verses that God is the object of our worship. We worship God. And that God is to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. Those are at least two requirements. Spirit has to do with our attitude, our whole heart, if you will, not just half-heartedly. And that we do it according to truth. And we know what that is. The Bible defines that for us. Bible tells us that God's Word is truth. Thy Word is truth. And so if we worship according to truth, we worship according then to what? The Word of God. Jesus talked about the fact that there are times when men offer worship that it's vain. Vain worship is dealt with in passages like Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, and other places where men worship God in vain. It means that their worship is empty or to no avail. And what that says to us is that we could render something to God and it not be accepted by God. Now, that's contrary to popular opinion, isn't it? Because most people would tell us today that if I offer something to God, that God's going to accept that, no matter what it is. And we know that as we study through the Bible, that that's never been the case. That God has always expected man to worship Him according to His terms, and not just any way man wanted to do it. And how so often man would deviate, step aside from the divine plan, and how that God would not accept His worship. And so we worship according to His bidding, or according to His will. Here was a woman that went down by the riverside, gathered with other women. The city of Thyatira worshiped God. And then the Bible says, heard us. Heard us. Let's think about that for just a moment. Lydia heard Paul speak. Would you have liked to have heard Paul speak? I would have liked to have heard Paul speak, wouldn't you? She heard Paul speak. Paul, with his company, there were others we know that were with him, that would be Luke, Timothy, and Silas would be there. The Bible says, sat down and spake unto the women that resorted thither. Here were these men who went as a result of the Macedonian call. Come over into Macedonia and help us. And here they are now. What's some great thing that we're going to be involved in? Maybe the way that we look at that sometimes. Sometimes. There's got to be something great's going to happen here. He's called us. We had this vision. Come over into Macedonia and help us. And here are these evangelists now. But now here they are down by a riverside, and here's a small group of women that are gathered together to worship God. I want to tell you, that was a great thing. That was a great thing. You see, we don't always have to have multitudes. We don't always have to have great things happen as we think of it. Sometimes it may just be one person interested in the Word of God. And that's great if it's just one. If it's more than one, that's great too. I suggest to you that Lydia and the others heard Paul speak. And that says something about the fact that she listened. That's really what those words mean when it says she heard us. She listened to the teaching of the Word of God. Apparently, on this particular occasion, Paul would have been the chief speaker. It's hard for two or four men to all speak at the same thing, same time, and get anything accomplished, right? She heard Paul. He being the speaker on that occasion, what do you think he said? Well, we know something about the Apostle Paul, don't we? We know something about his work. We know something of his early days. We know something about his conversion to the Lord, and how that after his conversion to the Lord, immediately or straight forth, he preached Christ. And we know by that what he was doing. He was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what she was hearing. And you can read Acts 9 and Acts 22 and Acts 26 and other places, and you can appreciate the work of this particular man. And how that God was working with him and through him to bring about the conversion of the Gentiles. You know, never did a person respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ who didn't first listen to the preaching of the Word of God. Did you get that? It all begins with preaching. And it all begins to people listening or reading for themselves. That would be the same thing. Listening to the one of those means, the word of the Lord. And yet we live in a time when it's sometimes difficult to get people listening. And the Bible calls upon us to be listeners. Like in the book of Romans, chapter 1. Verses 16 and 17, when we read about the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need to be listening and hearing the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. It is God's power to save. And all the more people would listen or hear the word of the Lord. I'm impressed by Lydia, aren't you? And these women. How that Lydia heard Paul speak. But another thing that we learn about this woman, this certain woman, whose name is Lydia, and that is we know that the Bible tells us that her heart was opened. And you see that in verse 14. After it says that she heard us, whose heart the Lord opened. It's an interesting statement about this particular woman. Well, somebody says that is what happens. The Lord will miraculously open a person's heart, and then the Lord will come into their heart and abide there. I don't really believe it's that complicated. I believe it's simpler than that. I believe it's just exactly like the Bible says it. And that when, as she worshiped God and heard the word of the gospel of Christ, her heart was opened. It was opened by the preaching of the gospel of Christ. That's what the text says, doesn't it? That's how our hearts are open today. We are stimulated and pricked, if you will, by the Word of God, aren't we? As it's preached, as it's presented. You might study it in your home as you read it. Your heart might be opened as a result of coming to know and to understand the Word of the Lord. Wouldn't be any different for us today, would it? It doesn't imply, nor does it teach, some sort of a direct operation of the Holy Spirit on the heart of Lydia. Her mind was opened. Her mind, if you will, was enlightened by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our heart, or her heart, would have said to have been closed if she was not willing to hear and not willing to listen. Just like in Matthew 13 and in verse 15. Our hearts can be closed inasmuch as our hearts can be opened to the Word of God. There were those on some occasions that, you remember, stopped their ears and ran upon those that preached. That's having a closed heart, isn't it? I don't want to hear anymore. I've heard enough. Don't say another word. That's a closed heart, isn't it? Aren't you thankful that this woman didn't have that kind of a heart? That she didn't say something like that? But her heart was opened. Here was a woman that was eager to hear the word of the Lord. Eager to hear the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. She heard us. Are you hearing Are we listening to the word of the Lord today? I trust that all of us are. God had led Paul and his company to this area, and no doubt to this woman. That's not a strange thing to us as we've studied through the book of Acts, is it? Somebody had to get with Saul of Tarsus, didn't they? And there was a devout Jew by the name of Ananias, and he was the right man doing the right thing at the right time, wasn't he? What about the man of Ethiopia that was traveling along? Here was a man that had been to worship, a man of some devotion, was he not, to travel as far as he did to worship God, all the way from Ethiopia, all the way to the city of Jerusalem, and then have to return back. Great journey. It would take a long time, especially when you, at the very best, could only make 30 or 40 miles a day, and maybe going 1,000 miles. It'd be quite a journey, wouldn't it? Some devotion. And then here was Philip, who joined himself to his chariot and taught him the word of the Lord, and he obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lydia's heart was opened. We're thankful for open hearts and open minds. And the Bible also says in this particular opening, in this particular place, that Lydia attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. I like those words, she attended. Attended unto the things that were spoken of Paul. It's an interesting comment. You know, it'd be easy just to sort of read over that, wouldn't it? But you know, we need to spend just a moment on that and think about what that really means. Literally, the words are that Paul's teaching gripped her attention. Gripped her attention. She attended. She was not only listening, she was a very good listener. She attended, or she gave heed unto the things that were spoken. She kept her mind centered and focused on those things. You know, that's not always easy to do. Our minds have a tendency to want to wander, don't they? We're tired at times, and it's not always easy, and sometimes our eyes get a little heavy, and I can understand that. It's not always easy to pay close attention. But she did. And you know, it's a good thing that she did. Look what it meant to her. Look how much more we can get out of the word of the Lord, the gospel of Christ, when we pay such close attention to it. When we pay such close attention to it that we're willing to search the scriptures to see whether those things are so. When we pay such close attention that we're ready to study, to rightly divide the word of God as good workmen and soldiers of Jesus Christ, it's worthwhile to pay close attention unto the things that are stated in the Word of God. You remember there's a warning in the Word of God of not paying attention, if you will. Letting things just kind of slip by, that'd be sort of the same thing, wouldn't it? In the book of Hebrews chapter 2 and in verse 1, wherefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Somebody said, that just kind of went right over my head. Just slip right. I didn't get that. And sometimes maybe it's because we're not giving attendance unto the things that are spoken. I'm not just talking about listening to teachers and listening to preachers preach, although that we need to do that. We need to listen to what the Word is saying. What's that verse saying? What's that word mean? What does that phrase mean to me? How can I apply that to my life? How can I be better because of that? That's what we're talking about. She attended unto the things that were spoken. And the Bible says she was baptized. Verse 15 now. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. I'm not surprised at that. Are you? I'm not surprised at the fact that she was baptized. I'm not surprised for a number of reasons. One, because men like Paul and others were going and teaching the need for baptism. We've already noted in the book of Acts, we studied through it from Acts chapter 1 through Acts chapter 15, a number of individuals who've been baptized. We shouldn't be surprised by that. In Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38, very early on, after the events of the first chapter, of course, we're told that Peter said, repent, or preached, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We read in chapter 3 and verse 19 of Peter's second sermon, repent and be converted. That's saying the same thing in a different way. Repent and be baptized is the same as repent and be converted, because conversion involves baptism. That your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So from Acts 2 and on, we find a number of cases of folks being baptized. As we studied in our Bible class just the last couple times from Acts chapter 8 and Acts chapter 9, what have we read? We've read about baptism, haven't we, for one. We've read about the preaching of the gospel and folks taking heed unto the things that they've heard and being baptized. Lydia was baptized. But she was only baptized after she had given attention unto the things that were spoken. Did you notice that? She was only baptized after her heart was opened by the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. She was only baptized after she heard Paul speak. That tells us that there are things to precede baptism. There has to be the preaching of the gospel. Why would a person be baptized who's not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ? What would prompt that? Something prompted her being baptized. And not only her being baptized, but others that were with her of her household. You know, baptism must be pretty important. For think about this woman now. Here's a woman of some means, away from home, down beside the river, gathering together with a group of women to worship God according to the Old Testament pattern, as she knew to do at that time. And she's listening to, for the first time, the gospel of Jesus Christ being preached. And she's obviously very touched by that. She's gripped by that, and her attention is a very serious attention unto things that she's hearing. So much so that she's compelled to be baptized. And why would you be compelled to be baptized? For the same reason that others were baptized, for the remission of their sins, like in Acts chapter 2 and in verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. As we said, this is the same thing that happens all throughout the book of Acts. From Acts chapter 2 through Acts chapter 19, men and women are hearing the word of God, and they're being baptized for the remission of their sins. What about a place to baptize people? Well, what do we know about where they are? They're down by a riverside. Be a good place to baptize somebody, wouldn't it? But the river being near, it reminds us of the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8 who said, "See, here's water." She could have said something like that, couldn't she? "See, here's water. We're right down here." What better place to be? Somewhere close to the water. Where when someone needs to obey the gospel of Christ, they can do just that and be baptized. You know, Lydia could have responded a lot of other ways, couldn't she? She could have said, "You know, I'm God-fearing, worshiper of God. I'm away from home. I don't need to be baptized," or, "I'll think about that," or, "I'll consider that. You know, I don't have a whole lot of time today. I've got to meet with some folks about some dye or some material." A lot of things that she could have said, couldn't she? You know, when she learned what she needed to do, she took care of it, didn't she? And she was baptized. Those words are very impressive. In light of the fact of what the Bible teaches, as Jesus said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," Mark 16 and in verse 16. And in light of what the Apostle Peter taught in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 21, that baptism doth also now save us. And one more. Lydia, this certain woman, who was of the city of Thyatira, that worshiped God, that heard Paul, whose heart was opened, who attended unto the things that were spoken, who was baptized, was hospitable. You know, it's a wonderful lesson here in just a verse or two about hospitality. And somebody says it's almost a forgotten virtue. Have you heard that? And I'm afraid it is with a lot of people. And then there are a lot of people, they haven't forgotten it at all. A lot of people are very good at extending good hospitality to others. They understand the value of it, the need for it, and the importance of doing it in light of what the Bible teaches. Here Lydia invited Paul and her companions, "Abide in my house." Now think about the setting. "When she was baptized in her household, she besought us, saying, 'If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there.' And she constrained us." Could this be her second home, we might say? Home away from home? We'd say something like that probably, wouldn't we? And yet, she was able to say, "Come into my house." Now, we might say something like, "Well, let me think about this first. What's a house look like?" Right? Is it good enough shape to invite four preachers in to stay for a while? Well, I said, "Wait a minute. You know, yeah, four preachers. Not just one." Somebody say, "Well, one would be bad enough." What about four? "Come into my house and stay." Did they have any place to go? They've gone over there as a result of the vision. God says, "Come over and help us." And when God says, "Come over and help us," you go. And they went. They apparently, at this particular point, had made no provisions for that. They knew that that would be taken care of, didn't they? And certainly it was by godly people who loved the Lord and who loved those who preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. And what a wonderful person it is that says, "Come into my house and stay." And who will say that and who won't take no for an answer? Somebody says, come to my house and stay. What might you say? "Oh, no, we don't want to be in any trouble. That, we don't want to get you out. We know that's a lot. We'd rather stay at the Holiday Inn." That's usually our custom. We usually stay at the Holiday Inn. They had inns. They probably didn't have the Holiday Inn, but they had inns, didn't they? Different places. No doubt there might have been places to stay. Certainly others to stay with. she constrained them. And if you've judged me to be faithful, what a wonderful way to put it. What a wonderful way to put it. That's compelling, isn't it? Because what she had just done was faithful. And you might mark that down. That when they said yes and they went to her home, they were saying, what you have just done was faithfulness to the Lord. That was being faithful. By your hearing the word, and you're believing it, and you're in Christ, and by being baptized into Christ, you have been faithful in obeying the Lord. And that's what they were saying. So they couldn't say no. They had to say yes. And they did just that. Wouldn't you have liked to have been in Lydia's home and sat there with Lydia and those of her household and hear men like Paul and Timothy and Luke and Silas, they come in, these men of God, who are there to preach the gospel of Christ. What a wonderful setting. To be able to sit around, what do you think they probably talked about? Oh, they could have talked about a lot of things, but I'll tell you one thing for sure that they talked about. They'd talk about the gospel of Christ, wouldn't they? Because that's what they were sent to do. They were sent to preach Christ. And sometimes we forget about what we're sent to do, and we get sidetracked, we get to thinking about and talking about a lot of other things. And we need to get back to our mission and our work of teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's no indication of how long they might have stayed. They stay one night, two nights, a week, several weeks. We don't really know exactly the length of the stay, and I suppose it doesn't really matter. But obviously abode there for some time. May we never forget to be hospitable. And how that it's enjoined upon us to practice hospitality one to another without grudging. You might like to jot down 1 Peter 4 and in verse 9. And the book of Hebrews chapter 13 and in verse 2. Wonderful woman by the name of Lydia. Be a good name for a girl, wouldn't it? Recommend to your kids, a granddaughter, a name, Lydia. Be a good name, wouldn't it? I hope we've been impressed with divine scripture. We're certainly impressed with this woman. But we, you know, we wouldn't know a thing about her if it wasn't for divine scripture. And the fact that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and it is profitable. And I trust that our study today has been profitable this afternoon. It's profitable because it is inspired. It comes from God. And everything that it says is so. And everything that it says is applicable for us today. May we be as this woman and others that were with her, be hearing the Word of God and be obeying the Word of God. If we have a need this afternoon to obey the gospel in a sense as she did, in the sense of being baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, what better time? I said, well, we're not down by the riverside. No, we're not. But we don't have to be down by the riverside, do we? We can come together this afternoon, worship God as we've done in these songs and these prayers, and hear the teaching of the Word of God. And we too can respond to the gospel just like she did. There's a pool of water not 50 feet away from us that we could be baptized in for the remission of our sins, if we so desire. You see, obeying the gospel of Christ is not complicated. It just demands an honest heart that wants to do the will of God. If you need to render obedience and would desire to make a confession of your faith that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized, we're saying that we're willing and able to help you as best that we can do humanly. And God will do His part. You come in simple, trusting faith, to forgive you of your sins and add you to the body of Jesus Christ. And therefore, the invitation of the Lord is extended to you and to all others. And may we go forth and extend the invitation unto others. You've obeyed, but we've not been faithful. And oftentimes, maybe that can happen in our lives. Just as we studied in the book of Acts, in the case of Simon the sorcerer, man that had obeyed the gospel and yet fell away, it shows that that certainly can happen. We need to come back to the Lord. We can assist you in any way this afternoon. Would you come? And as we sing this invitation song, come now.